In the little village of Bethlehem, there lay a child one day. And the sky was bright with a holy light o'er the place where Jesus lay. Alleluia, oh how the angels sang. Alleluia, how it rang. And the sky was bright with the holy light. 'Twas the birthday of a king. Was a humble birthplace, but oh, how much God gave to us that day. From the manger bed, what a path has led, what a perfect holy way. Alleluia, oh how the angels sang. Alleluia, how it rang. And the sky was bright with the holy light. 'Twas the birthday of a king. Alleluia, oh how the angels sang. Alleluia, how it rang. And the sky was bright with the holy light. 'Twas the birthday of a king.
Well, amen. Sure is good to see all of you this morning. Thankful for God's mercy to us. We had a wonderful program last Sunday evening. Truly enjoyed it. And if you didn't see it, if you weren't present and you haven't seen it on the internet, you can go to Sermon Audio and watch the service there. You can bring it up on your computer. I even watched it with my granddaughter yesterday on the iPhone. So you can see that. And we're so grateful for the great job that the choir did on the program. You're going to be turning this morning to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. We had a very nice service Wednesday night, just reviewing the scriptures involving the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, singing some of the great Christmas hymns that we don't sing all that much, obviously, during the year. Although I remember one time at Victory Baptist, our song leader there, he had us turn, I think it was about July, he had us turn in the Joy to the World. Well, it's no less joy in July than it is in December, in what Christ has done for us. If you found your place there in Luke chapter 2, you can stand with me. I mentioned Wednesday night, just might talk a little bit about those shepherds, and so we are this morning. We'll pick up reading in verse 7, where it says, "And she," and that is of course Mary, "brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." It came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Father, once again, we bow before You. We thank You for the record of the Scriptures. And though we might not humanly be able to pinpoint the day that Jesus was actually born, we worship You, Father. We worship and seek to praise and give glory to Your Son at this time as we would remember and celebrate the coming of our Savior. And so, Father, please enter in, give direction, give guidance. Father, I pray that You would still our hearts after in the midst of a very busy day, that we might hear from You. Father, please grant us Your Spirit. And Father, I'm asking You, if there be anyone here today that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, that this day, this very day, might be the day that You'd be pleased to draw them savingly, gloriously to Yourself. We love You, Lord. We thank You for Your amazing, wondrous love for us. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Of course, we'll be seated. Some have asked as you came in this morning about Jane Newman. And her surgery went very well yesterday. They was able to take care of what was hindering her, and they looked for her to remain in the hospital though for several days. So continue to pray for her. Jack Foster is recovering well, but somehow or other came down with one of these respiratory things. So please pray for him as well. Well, have you ever worked a third shift? Yeah, some say, yeah, we've had to work the third shift. But working the third shift isn't a very glamorous job. It's sometimes called the graveyard shift for good reason, because normally the third shift is the quietest time to work. But you know, all in all, there are some benefits to working on the graveyard or the third shift. One is that the bosses are seldom around. The big bosses are usually aren't around there in the middle of the night. A second is that you can usually get your work done without someone, usually one of those bosses, bothering you or interrupting you. You can get the job done and be finished. Well, thirdly, most of the time the work on the third shift is less stressful than the morning shift or the afternoon shift. So there are some blessings there. Now, for these shepherds, their late shift would have started like any other night. Their job was to keep watch, as we read here, over their flocks there in the field. And there's certainly, for them, some third shift blessings that would like us to look at this morning. Now, there were some dangers that the shepherds that would be caring for the flock over the night would have to watch out for. They'd have to be careful and watchful in case some robbers might come along and try to steal some of the sheep. But, of course, there were always predators as well. In those days, it wasn't uncommon for lions or bear or other predators to attack the flock. You'd be mindful that it's recorded that David had both killed a lion and a bear in the protection of his flock. Verse 8 says that the shepherds, as we read, were keeping watch over their flock by night. They work in the night watch. They were working the third shift. When we see here, their vigil then. With that, we see their vigil. It's no little matter. I don't believe it's a little thing that that the angel appeared to these shepherds to make this announcement. Obviously, we would claim here at Metropolitan Baptist Church that we are Bible believers, that every word of that divine book is given to us by inspiration of God. And so in that, we would also confess that nothing is in the Word without consequence or without significance. God chose to reveal the birth of His Son to shepherds. Be mindful. He didn't go to the king's palace to tell Herod of the baby's birth, the birth of the Son of God. He didn't go to the home of the high priest to reveal to him the birth of that long-awaited and anticipated Messiah. No, He appeared in the stillness of the night to this group of shepherds. The biggest event, and I say that without a bit of question, probably the biggest event in human history was announced to these shepherds. Wow. This visitor that came to the shepherds at night. Now try to place yourself at the scene. I don't know about you. By now you probably realize that I like to do this. I like to kind of imagine what the scene was like. What was going on. At this point when these events take place, the shepherds are probably gathered about a fire and they're discussing the day's work. They may be doing like we do so many times, sitting around and discussing politics and solving all the world's problems as they awaited the evening to pass. They may have even been talking about such weighty things as the weather. Who knows? But as they were there, passing the night together, there's this angelic messenger comes to them from glory. Again, reading here in verse 8, it says, "And there were in the same country," or in that same region, and Luke is wanting us to understand that in that same area around Bethlehem, where the Lord Jesus Christ was born. There were shepherds there abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. Now this designation here, the angel of the Lord, sometimes in the Scriptures, this would speak of an actual pre-incarnate appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. But it's obvious to us from the context that that's not what is being spoken of here. The Lord Jesus has been born there in Bethlehem. No, this is an angel, and quite possibly the angel Gabriel. If you look back in chapter 1 in verse 19, we have the angel Gabriel appearing to Zacharias. And it says, "And the angel answering said unto him," that is Zacharias, "I am Gabriel that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee and to show thee these glad tidings." This angel Gabriel, it seems, as we would try to pull together from Scriptures, that part of his duties is to await those messages from the throne of glory to be delivered to the one God would send it to. In verse 26 of chapter 1, we find Gabriel appearing to Mary, where it says, "And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin, espoused to a man." Now, we don't know. It's conjecture, but it quite possibly is Gabriel that has appeared to the angels that night. Now, the information is given to them in a very powerful way. Now, when we read that, it says an angel of the Lord came upon them. Came upon them. It doesn't say, the passage doesn't say that the angel of the Lord came unto them. It doesn't say that the angel of the Lord came into their midst. No, it says the angel of the Lord came upon them. Now, when I think about that, it kind of gives me the impression that He descended above them or was there over them in that sense. And as He spoke to them, not only did He appear to him, but the glory of the Lord shone round about them. God was pleased to give His presence, I believe, as well. The glory is in that light is often a picture of the Holy Spirit. It's also it's usually a designation of the presence of the Holy Spirit. So it may be that one, this is the glory of the angel Gabriel himself, or that God is attending this announcement with His presence by His glory given and manifested here. We also notice, beloved, that this glory shone round about them. There's absolutely no doubt in my mind that as Gabriel appeared unto them, he had the shepherd's complete attention. I think it's safe to say they were focused on Gabriel or on this angel as he appeared. Well, we see this angelic message then. This message from glory in verse 10. And the angel said unto them, fear not, fear not. The announcement begins with those very simple words. No need to fear him. Now again, we're at the scene, right? We're imagining the scene. And you're there, and it's a quiet evening on the hillside outside of Bethlehem. And you're there visiting and talking with your partners in the work, and suddenly this angel appears and the whole countryside lights up. You don't know what's going on, do you? You have no idea about what is going to happen next. You might have been a little bit afraid. In fact, this word fear has the idea of being terrified. They were scared, folks. They had no idea. Is this angel going to just wipe them out, destroy them? What's going on? First words out of the angel's mouth, fear not. Fear not. He seeks to calm them. But beloved, he's not come with bad news. He's not come to harm them or to hurt them in any way. He's come to deliver unto them the news, the good news of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. No need to fear him. The message, as we've just said, is good news. Good news. The angel brings a very, very special message. It was a long-awaited message. The Jews had been awaiting for their Messiah to come unto them. And again, we've got to put it into their mind, in their thinking. They were waiting for their king to return. They were waiting for that Messiah to come, the anointed one of God, that that would deliver them from Rome's domination, from Rome's rule over them. And they were looking for that promise from the Word of God of the Messiah. It was a long anticipated message. A message that had been prophesied by many for hundreds of years before this time. And beloved, this message is a message of good news. It's good news. The angel speaks of what God has done for His people. You know, the Isaiah, the prophet, spoke of the work that this young child would do. In Isaiah chapter 53, and well, I'll turn there. You can turn if you want. But in Isaiah 53, in a moment we'll see that this child is called the Savior. The Savior, that one who would save His people. Well, Isaiah 53 describes that work of His saving work. It says in verse 4, surely He, surely the Messiah, surely the Christ, surely Jesus hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. Now listen to this. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. And with His stripes, we are healed. Now, beloved, as we read that, that doesn't sound like a message of good news. Sounds like a very grievous message. But as verse 5 closes, it's a message of healing. It's a message of restoration. It's a message, beloved, of salvation in this one that was given to us. His message is good news. As we read again, behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. Wow. Wow, a message of great joy. You know, the Christmas season is a wonderful time. I love it in many ways. My family would say, well, you don't love everything about it. Well, I know, and I trust there's some of it you don't love either. I didn't love the traffic this week. It was so nice this morning to get up and be able to drive to church so quietly and so nice late. Don't like a lot of the craziness as we were down at the mall the other day and had to park halfway back to the house and then go on to the, you know, there's some things about all this I don't care, but Christmas is a wonderful time. And it's a time when you're obviously we were coming into here, into this place this morning, into the Lord's house. We were quick and ready to wish each other a Merry Christmas. We want to see that blessing of God's goodness, His blessing from Christ upon each and every one. But it's interesting that you can go to the mall, you can go to the here and there and wish folks Merry Christmas. And well, let's say 99% of the time, they're going to say the same. They don't have any problem wishing you Merry Christmas, unless they happen to be a news anchor for one of the major networks or something. They don't like that kind of stuff. They want to make a fuss about it. But, beloved, hey, folks like to wish each other a Merry Christmas. Even lost folks, even the worldly entertainers will sing the hymns that tell the story of the birth of Christ. The world, to a measure, recognizes Christmas as a holiday, even though they do not understand the holiness of that day, right? The sacredness. Hey, when we say happy holiday, you know, sometimes we might get alarmed about that. Well, they're not saying Merry Christmas. Well, beloved, happy holy day isn't bad if they understood what they were saying. Because unfortunately, for many, this last week, was a celebration of seeing how much booze they can drink down, guzzle down, and have some kind of a fake happiness or produced joy. Unfortunately, in the morning, the old emptiness is still there and comes back fresh and real. Oh my, they know nothing, really, of the great joy that the angel here is speaking of. A great joy. It's not a human joy. It's a joy that God and God alone can produce in us. And I sure pray that you know that joy today. The joy that Jesus gives to those that have received Him as their Lord and as their Savior. We can know that joy. We can experience that joy that'll fill our lives. Oh, that we would enter into the experience of that joy. We get past all of the goofy things that seem to get us down and aggravate us and all the rest. And find that great joy that surpasses all the rest. Oh my, Lord, help us. It's a joy that gives a peace of heart, an assurance that cannot be given or supplied in any other way. Nothing else can give the same joy that God will give us through Christ. It's a joy that overflows the heart and fills the life. Huh? Fills our lives with Him. And I love this. We read here, indeed, it's good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Shall be to all people. The angel's message is in particular to Israel, to the Jew, but it's not only to the Jew. It's not only to Israel. The message of the Messiah, the Christ, the promised Savior, is one to all people. To all people. The Anointed One, the Christ, has come. Thank you, Lord. Thank you so much, Lord. We see the declaration of the message as well here in verses 11 and 12. What's He say? It says, "For unto you." Or the idea is because. Because unto you. Why should there be great joy? Because unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. A Savior has been born. God's given His Messiah to Israel exactly, not kind of, exactly as He promised He would. Exactly the way the prophets had declared He would. He was born in Bethlehem, the city of David. And in that the angel declares unto them a sign. The shepherds were to have a sign. You know, it's nice to have a sign when you're trying to get somewhere. You're trying to find, and nothing aggravates me more than, especially when there's a bunch of construction or something going on, and they've taken down those signs to help you get where you're trying to go. And it's good to have a sign. And the angel says, "And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." The angel wanted them to understand, wanted those shepherds to know that there would be no mistaking the circumstances of the Savior's birth. It would be an extremely unique situation. You'll not find this baby at the finest home in Bethlehem. You'll not find this baby clothed in beautiful apparel. You'll not find this baby lying in a lovely cradle. No. This baby will be found lying in a manger wrapped in those swaddling clothes. Now think about that. Would you, again, consider the situation. Just how many newborn babies would be found in Bethlehem on this very night in a stable lying in a manger? Exactly. That was my conclusion too. None. So when the shepherds did finally make their way to Bethlehem and they found this baby lying in a manger there in a stable in Bethlehem, they were confident, they were convinced they'd found the very child that the angel had spoken to them of. Oh my. The angel gave the shepherds this sign to signify to them that when they found this specific child, that it was indeed the Messiah, the Christ, the Lord, their Savior. Amen. Indeed. Well, in verse 13, we sing those songs concerning the angelic host that came to rejoice that night. And it says, and suddenly, first this angel, whether it was Gabriel or another, had appeared to the shepherds. The sky lit up with the glory of God. The message is delivered, and as the message is now delivered, the sky is now filled with a multitude of the heavenly hosts. Now again, I can't get my brain around that. Maybe you can picture. This would be an awesome sight. That the sky was filled. It says, suddenly there was with the angel a multitude. Well, preacher, how many is a multitude? It's a bunch. It's a bunch. It's a multitude. The idea of that word in the Scripture means that it's beyond number. He didn't say 60 or anything. He just said a multitude. They looked into the sky and they couldn't number the angels that had appeared there with the original. And they break out into this praise for God. They were praising God and saying. Somebody said to me, we don't find angels singing in the Scripture. So what? I'm going to make a big deal. Let's make a big deal about that. Oh, I don't know if they were declaring it, singing it, whatever they were giving God glory. They were so overwhelmed with what God was doing. Now be mindful, not an angel ever has or ever will be saved. Not a one will ever experience what you have in Christ in your redemption. They'll not understand that great joy, but yet they rejoice in what God was doing for you and I. Thank you, Lord, for the angelic host that understands the greatness and the goodness and the wonder of our God, that they could give Him praise. Can't we? Whew. We ought to be able to give Him praise for what He's done. Praising God and saying, glory! Glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. Oh my. God sent His Son to bring peace to earth. You know, but I often ask myself, and I've asked others if they understand what peace the angels were talking about. I don't know. I hate to admit it. In a month or two here, a couple of months, I'm going to reach that plateau of 6 decades on this earth planet. And my memory, as long as I can remember being able to understand, I don't know of a time in these last 6 decades, and some of you could go on to fill in the blanks, when there's been peace on earth. Huh? In human history, it seems common for men to be fighting with man. Greed and the desire for power, domination, seems to drive men to attack and to kill and to fight with others. But you know what? I don't really think that's the war that the angels were concerned about. They understood that the wars of this world are all the product of the sin of man. The sin of man is the real problem. The bottom line, the real problem is the war that's going on between man and God. And our rebellion, the Bible tells us that you and I are at enmity with our God. That man has seen fit to pit himself against his God. And beloved, you and I understand that there's no way we can finish that battle. There's no way we'll ever win that fight against our God. These angels are rejoicing, beloved, that God has been pleased to make peace between men and themselves. That this one, hey, the great news of this one that was born, this Savior, the Messiah, would be the one that would finally bring peace, restore that peace that God would have for His people with Him. That we might know peace with God. Glory to God in the highest. The idea is glory to God in the heavens. Glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace, goodwill toward man. God wants our best. God wants our best. It's His purpose to do for His people. It's His purpose to fulfill our needs, to meet those needs. And on this day, as the angel declares, He's accomplished the very best for His people. The very best for you and for I. This war, the war that God was pleased to send His Son to accomplish the terms of peace. That Jesus Christ would indeed not only be born, but would die to provide that peace for us. Yes, indeed. We ought to be able to join the heavenly host here and declare glory to God in the highest. On earth, peace, goodwill toward man. Well, the angels go on. Shepherds are left alone there on the hillside, and they're overwhelmed, obviously. And they say to each other here in verse 15, it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and look at this, see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. Fellas, let's go see. Let's go see for ourselves. Let us go and investigate this thing for ourselves. They couldn't help it, could they? The shepherds could not let this just go by. They had to go and see for themselves. They left the sheep. They left the sheep to the Lord's care, I believe, that night. They were confident that if God would be pleased to show them all this, that He's able to take care of those sheep for them. And they left for Bethlehem to see this thing which had come to pass. And again, what's He say? Which the Lord hath made known unto us. Please hold on to that thought as we go on through here. Somewhere along the line, beloved, God's made some things known to us. Right? You're here this morning because God's made something known to you. He's revealed something to you along the way concerning Himself. God had made known unto the shepherds what He was going to do through this babe, a Savior, which was Christ, the Anointed One of God. And He's been pleased to make some things known to us as well. You notice they didn't waste any time. They didn't waste any time. It says in verse 16, they came with haste. They came with haste. They didn't want this thing to go by and they not be able to see it. They didn't want to waste another moment. They wanted to get to that baby. They wanted to get to the Christ. They wanted to get to the Savior that God had sent to them. So they came in haste. They found Mary and Joseph. And again, there's a lot of blanks here, isn't there? The angels have left. The shepherds decide that they're going to go to Bethlehem and find the child. And then we got this blank. My mind might work weird, but I'm thinking, what happened in that blank there? How long did it take them to find the baby? Did they have to hunt? Was God pleased to lead them directly to the child? Did they have to go from stable to stable? How long did it take? Again, someday I'm going to ask these guys just how long it took. I'm thankful I'm going to have the opportunity. They didn't waste any time. They came with haste. And beloved, this sign that had been given to them was verified to them in verse 16. They came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe. And what? Lying in a manger. Just exactly like the angel had told them it would be. What did they know? What did that say to them? It said to them that what the angel had told them, not only about a babe that would be there in the city of Bethlehem, in a stable, in swaddling clothes, in a manger. That they found to be true. But because they found that to be exactly and completely true, they also realized what the angel told them about Him being what? The Savior and the Anointed One, or the Lord, was also true. Amen. The investigation, they found it to be exactly as it was given. They found everything to be perfectly fulfilled as they were told. But it didn't stop there. What did they do? What did they do? Next verse. When they had seen it, verse 17, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning the child. Amen. This is what they didn't do. They came into the presence. Of course, they'd received this glorious message. They came into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. They didn't go to the house. They didn't go back to the field and just go on as normal, did they? No. They went abroad. The idea is they went everywhere telling folk what they'd been told. Telling people what had been revealed to them. You know what the next question is, don't you? How about us? How about us? Now, I think we've come to a place in Christianity where we might rejoice in our salvation. We might be ready to give God glory and praise for what He's done for us and thank Him for that He's been pleased to reveal Himself to us. And that's good. But we're failing to reach this world for Christ. We're failing to go abroad in the Lake Worth and Fort Worth and let folk know what we know. What did they say? They just went and told. They made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. What did they tell folks? What was told to them? Somewhere along the line, you and I have been told about this one that would come as the Christ, the Savior. Somewhere along the line, you and I heard about how He would be pleased to redeem us and that He had paid the price of our sins on Calvary's cross. We heard about that somewhere along the way. And God was pleased to reveal to our hearts that it was indeed the truth. He verified that to our heart of hearts. And then we, by faith, trusted Him. We put our trust in Him. We confessed our sin, forsook our sin, and turned to Christ. But far too often, we're happy to go back to the house and just be happy and be satisfied with that. Thank you, Lord, for doing for me. Well, there's a world perishing. Huh? There's a world perishing. And we're in the midst of that world. Yes, beloved, I plead with you. On this day that we choose to celebrate the birth of our Messiah. The day that we choose to celebrate the birth, the coming of our Savior. Might our hearts be challenged that we would go. Not just our missionaries, not only the pastor, not only the few, but all of us. We've got a lot of folks away and with family this morning, and there's some that have family here, and we're thankful for that. But Just imagine what would happen in Lake Worth and Saginaw and Fort Worth if we went abroad making known to folks what has been told to us. That indeed there was a day that a Savior came by my place and made Himself known to me. Hey, we're making this thing so complicated. These were simple men just like us.
Yes, sir.
I could be wrong. I don't know if there's any celebrities here today or any rich folks, or I was going to say important folks, but you're all important to me. But you know, it's not a matter of money or power or influence. It's a matter of simply taking the message that has been revealed to us, that Jesus saves sinners.
Amen.
Jesus came for you and for me. He came to what? Seek and to save that which was lost. I was a candidate. Huh? I was a candidate, and so were you. It may be you're here this morning, and you're still a candidate. You'd have to confess, preacher, I don't know that I'm saved. I never came into that relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ that you're talking about. I plead with you this morning. He's a wonderful Savior. He's an awesome God. And He loves you. He was pleased to lay down His life for you. I urge you, I plead with you in His name. If you don't know Him, put your faith and your trust in Him today. Lord, I'm a sinner and I know it. Forgive me. Cleanse me. Make me your own dear child. Let's stand together, beloved. There are indeed some blessings to be able to work the third shift, just as these shepherds experienced on this night. And Father, we bow before You today, and we're here on Christmas Day, Father, worshiping, rejoicing in our Savior, our God. Lord, I'm thankful I can be here with my brothers and sisters in Christ. Thank You for this church that does indeed desire to be a lampstand for You. Lord, help us. Lord, I pray You'd help us to fall all the more in love with Jesus. Fall in love with Him. We love Him so much that we can't help but to tell folks about this one that we love. This one that's done so much for us. And Father, I don't know. I don't know men's hearts this morning. It may be, Lord, that there's some here today that have not yet received Christ as their Savior. Please, Lord, get past the frailty of a preacher's flesh and show them Jesus. Might they see Him in His love and His great glory. Pray, Father, You might be pleased to let a little bit of that glory shine right here today. That You might effectually save to Yourself today. We love You. We're so thankful we can be here to worship You today. In Jesus' name, for Jesus' glory, we ask it. Amen. Brother John, have a song for us.
Page 468.
As we sing, folks, let's give Him glory. Give Him praise. His altars are open. Whatever God might be speaking to you, please do it.
Without Him I could do nothing. Without Him I surely fail. Without Him I would be drifting like a ship without a sail. Jesus, oh Jesus, do you know Him today? You can't turn Him away. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Without Him, how lost I would be.
Isn't that the truth? What a beautiful word. Without Him, how lost I would be. Do you remember being lost? I can still remember. And I think it's good that God reminds us once in a while what it was like before Christ came into our lives. We were just like the rest of the world, chasing after all the things that shine and glitter and all the rest. And then there was that day when Jesus came along. And He changed everything for us. My, what a great God He is. Let's sing one more verse. Just worship Him.
Without Him, I would be dying. Without Him, I'd be enslaved. Without Him, life would be hopeless. But with Jesus, thank God, I'm saved. Jesus, oh Jesus, do you know Him today? You can't turn Him away. Oh Jesus, oh Jesus, without Him, how lost I would be.
Amen. You can be seated. Trust God might be pleased to use us today for His glory. And again, I'm just thankful to be here with you. So thankful to call Metropolitan Baptist Church my church and to the honor, the privilege to be your pastor. Brother Cushman.
Can you hear me now? Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for everything you've given us. Lord, thank you for the wonderful message we've heard this morning and the challenge that we've had to go out and tell what we've been told ourselves. Lord, be it this offering about to receive, be it the gift and the giver. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Do have a few announcements. Obviously, a Christmas Day service today. Thank y'all, every last one of y'all, for being here today. I've taken time away from family and everything, but hey, this is church family. This is good. Thank y'all. Today is the last day for the Texas Theological Registration. It closes today. You can attend classes, but you won't get credit for it if it's not in the thing today. Is that right, Ms. Myra? Okay, thank you very much. New Year's service we'll have next Sunday. Everything will be normal except for children's church. We will not have a children's church. Ladies' brunch is on the 2nd. Meet at the Cracker Barrel. Let's see. The Rollins. We got some flyers. Yeah, if you want to pass some flowers out, that's okay, too. We got some flyers to be handed out. Hey, put your neighborhood gas station if you can, or just, you know, where you might feel that somebody can see them. Invite somebody to come to that, okay? This week, there's no service tonight. Ladies' visitation, 10 o'clock on Wednesday, and youth choir practice on Wednesday night. More than likely, we probably won't have visitation on Saturday. But other than that, I think that's about all we had to say, is it? Very good. Sure.
Thank you. If you would stand with us, let's grab a hymn book and turn to page 315. We're going to sing the first verse of Ring the Bells. Ring the bells, ring the bells.
Ring the bells, ring the bells. Let the whole world know Christ was saved in Bethlehem many years ago. Born to die that men might live, came to earth new life to give. Born of Mary, born so low many years ago. God the Father gave His Son, gave His own beloved one, sinful earth, to bring mankind His love new birth. Ring the bells, let the whole world know Christ the Savior lives today, as He did so long ago.
Amen. Merry Christmas.